Lord has given us opportunity to come together once again this week. Amen. So that we might remember what He has done for us and what He has offered on our behalf, so that we might offer back to Him Amen. Praise, honor, and glory, such that we might be pleasing in His sight, and be able to go and be with Him through all eternity. I had two fine lessons. Well, I thought they were fine anyway. When you hear them some other time, you may not think they were so fine, but they were fine to me. Prepared to preach today, and then I got up Friday morning and considered some of the things that I was seeing on the news and in the various social sites that I go to from time to time, and was reminded more particularly of some of the things we discussed in our Wednesday night Bible class just a few weeks ago from the book of Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. And while, as you know, I don't believe that God comes and talks to me directly in my mind or that the Spirit moves directly upon me, the knowledge of the Word of God and the things that we need cause me to consider these things, and I hope that they will be useful to you this morning as we consider some things that we can do to help ourselves and our world in the condition that is in. We are very close, if not already, living in days that are near what was described for us in the reading in Genesis chapter 6, and certainly you recognize that as the story or the beginning of the story of Noah and the flood. If you continue down there in chapter 6 and look at verse 11 and 12, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And for years, I have heard preachers and Bible class teachers and elders and parents say, we're in the days like the days of Noah. Everybody is wicked. Nobody's thinking righteous. And then 5 years down the road, it's worse than it was when they said that. 5 years down the road, it's worse than it was when they said that. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that we are in a world that is wicked like it was in the days of Noah, but I can tell you we're in a world that's wicked. Amen. We're in a world that has a great deal of evil within it, and that evil seems to be cropping up more and more. While the recent events, and by recent I mean over the past several years and particularly over the past few weeks, while recent events may not have reached out and touched any of us in a personal manner, certainly, we are aware, certainly they have caused an effect in our attitude, and we can see their effects all around us. And so the question is, what do we do? Amen. There are many in this world that are calling for us, for various ones to rise up and take control. Amen. And get rid of all this wickedness and evil. Amen. But we're not of the world. When we ask the question, what shall we do? We know where to go to get the answer, don't we? We need to go to the Bible. Amen. We need to go look and see what the Word of God has to say in order to determine what it is that we can and ought to do. Amen. And the first thing that I want to submit to you that we can do, that we ought to do, Amen. Is pray. Do you believe the power of prayer works? I know you do.
Yes, sir.
There's a number of you here who have used prayer and continue to pray in regards to various situations in your life and with those who are your loved ones. And if we believe in prayer and that prayer works, then we find ourselves in a difficult or unfamiliar situation. Amen. We need to pray. Amen. We need to pray for change. We need to pray for help. We need to pray for understanding. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for strength. And we need to pray for comfort. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I know those who were here last Sunday for the adult Bible class, y'all looked at these verses. But they fit perfectly into what we're talking about this morning. Paul says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is acceptable, or this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Oftentimes we read that passage and we say we need to pray for our kings and for our leaders so that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life, and we forget the latter part of that. The purpose of our prayer is not just that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life, but that all men might be saved. The purpose of our prayer is to ask God that there might be some way, some means, by which we, through our quiet and peaceable and tranquil life, would be able to help all men be saved.
Amen.
That He would fall upon their hearts.
Amen.
That they would hear the gospel and be able to be obedient to it. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that when we have difficulty understanding what it is that we need to pray for, when we have things that we're not fully understanding, that we can use the Spirit. And I think when we read that, we need to understand he's talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
In Romans 8 and verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I won't pretend to know all about what that verse says and what he's trying to say there. But I can confidently state to you that what Paul tells us there tells us that if we have difficulty talking to God about what's going on, reading and studying from the Word of God is going to help us. When things are going wrong, when evil is around us, we need to pray. But we also need to focus. Apostle Paul told the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 4, and remember, this is the same group that he told to shine his lights in the midst of a dark and crooked and perverse generation. He said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We need to get our focus.
Amen.
It may be that the best thing for us personally to do in regards to some of the things that are going on is to turn the 24-hour news channels off.
Amen. Right.
Not ignore the news.
Amen.
But stop focusing on it.
Right.
And put our focus back on the Word of God.
Amen.
Put our focus on the things that are good and right and proper. We need to focus if we're going to deal
with
evil.
Amen.
In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We need to understand that our focus must be upon coming to God. All the things that we do, no matter what's going on around us in the world, no matter what's happening among our friends and our family, our neighbors, we need to get our focus back on God.
Amen.
God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female He created them. And we read a little further down in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that He made,
Amen.
Including man in the image of God.
Amen.
And behold, it was very good.
Amen.
And there was evening and morning the sixth day. We need to get our focus.
Amen.
We get distracted by the things that are going on in the world. We get all caught up in the things that are happening all over the world. I saw a quote just yesterday when I was scanning around, and I don't remember the exact quote, but the point was, there was a time, and I think they used the phrase 100 or 150 years ago, that what we knew about evil is what was happening close to us. Those of you who are in your, y'all in your 20s or 30s now. Those of you who are in the generation below me.
Amen.
My generation and above, we knew what happened in town. even if we lived in the country.
Amen.
We didn't know what happened in California,
right,
or Bangladesh.
Amen.
We might hear every now and then something that was going on in London.
Amen.
But we just didn't know a lot about what was going on elsewhere. Today,
amen,
we know about evil everywhere. And the point of this quote was, back then we only knew about what was happening local, and they made the point, we're not designed to deal with all of the evil in the world.
Amen.
And while I don't want to lose the information capabilities that we have available to us, put it that way, I do recognize that sometimes we need to pull back.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to bring our focus back.
Amen.
Do we mourn for those who have lost their lives elsewhere? Yes, we do. When we know about it, we mourn. Do we have concern for the spread of evil across the world? Yes, we do. But our focus is to be on God.
Amen.
And to do God's will. The prophet Micah in chapter 6 and verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. When we are bombarded with the evil and the things that are going on in our world today, we need to pray.
Amen.
And we need to focus.
Amen.
But we also need to beware. We need to beware. Paul told the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sin, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Beware. Be cautious. Watch out. Because there are those that will pull your focus away from God. Second Peter chapter 3, we read, knowing this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I'm convinced that verse there, that passage there, is one of the reasons that when we start looking at the evil around us and we realize what's going on, we look back into the days of Noah and wonder if we've made it to that point, again, where God is ready to destroy the world. We need to beware.
Amen.
We need to be careful. We need to watch for those that would pull us away from God.
Amen.
For whatever reason and whatever method.
Amen.
But we also need to be wise.
Amen.
Solomon in the Proverbs says, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Those of you who are on social media, have you seen any rash words over the last few days, weeks, months? You see anybody lash out, respond almost immediately to something, maybe not one of the great tragedies, but just something that's been said to them? They jump back. Does it give healing and help?
Amen.
No, to speak with wisdom,
amen,
gives healing and help.
Amen.
And while there is a certain sense in which we need to recognize wisdom in all aspects, let's remember that what we understand and what we know is that true wisdom,
amen,
the wisdom that's going to bring health, going to bring help,
amen,
the wisdom that's going to bring healing of the hurts,
amen,
is wisdom that comes from God.
Amen.
In fact, when we studied from the book of Proverbs, I think it was our Wednesday night class a year or so ago, we finished it up. one of the things that we talked about over and over in that class is that wisdom comes from God.
Amen.
James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God who gives generously to all and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We get wisdom from God. And what we need to understand is the wisdom that God gives us points us in a different direction than the wisdom of the world. Here we come back to Matthew chapter 5. We studied in our Bible class just a few weeks ago. I made mention of just a moment ago. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies.
Amen.
And pray for those who persecute you.
Amen.
So that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Amen.
For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more do you do than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. The wisdom that comes from God demands love.
Amen.
Demands that we try to emulate our Father.
Amen.
In heaven, who is perfect. And His perfection is demonstrated to us in the fact that He sends good.
Amen.
On both the evil and the righteous. He won't save the wicked unless they come to Him under His will.
Amen.
But they receive the same rain and sunshine that we do. God loves the unlovable. The wisdom that God has given us is that we ought to have love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is a great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And let us not begin to think that those things only apply to the Old Testament. They apply to the New.
Amen.
The illustration and example given to us by Jesus Himself tells us that love is the basis for all. Paul tells us in the Corinthian letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if we don't have love in all of our actions, it is a waste of our action.
Amen.
Well, I may do great and wonderful things if there is not love behind it.
Amen.
That's useful. It's vain. Love. We need to be wise.
Amen.
With the wisdom from God.
Amen.
Not the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men would have us to retaliate.
Amen.
To strike back.
Amen.
The wisdom of God tells us to love.
Amen.
To have concern and care.
Amen.
For the souls of those that might do us harm. The Apostle Paul calls for genuine love. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 12. And I'll make note at the beginning of this chapter is where he tells us that we need to be a living sacrifice. That's what expected of us. A living sacrifice devoted and transformed from the world. But beginning in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy.
Amen.
Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good.
Amen.
Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
Amen.
Bless those who persecute you.
Amen.
Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Amen.
Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, Paul instructs us in two sets of relationships. One, the first part of what we read, he talks about our relationship with our brethren and our responsibilities toward them. And they're very strong responsibilities. We have an obligation. We're to devote ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who are saints according to the will of God. We're to give our attention to them and to help them above and beyond what we might do for anyone else. They're to come first in our life. This does not mean that we can't do business with a hardware store that's of the world when there's a hardware store that belongs to one of our brethren. That's not what he's talking about when he talks about preferring. What he's talking about is we give our love and our honor and our help and our assistance, amen, our concern, our hospitality, and our care to our brothers and sisters in Christ first.
Amen.
Very similar to how John and Phyllis are going to give a little more help to Jordan and Chris than they would to Rachel and Andrew, our kids.
Amen.
Not to mention the fact our kids are in Beaumont, but still.
I heard that. Amen.
You know, they're probably going to prefer their kids over us.
Amen.
If it comes time that both are in need of help and they can only help one, they're going to help their kids before,
amen,
they help me.
Amen.
And so we see that in that relationship, and we need to recognize that we have a responsibility to our brethren in Christ,
amen,
first and foremost.
Amen.
Even as individuals.
Amen.
But Paul continues. He doesn't stop with our relationship to our brethren. He says you've got a responsibility to those that are outside the church,
amen,
as well.
Amen.
In fact, not only do you have a responsibility to those that are outside the church, but just as Jesus taught us there in Matthew chapter 5, you have a responsibility to those who are evil, to those who are hurting you, to those who are persecuting you. You have a responsibility even to your enemies. And what is that responsibility? To get back at them for what they did? To make them pay for what they did? No. To love.
Amen.
To love.
Amen.
The wisdom that comes from God tells us that we are to love those, even those who hate us. Now, does that mean that we go walking out and say, shoot me, if somebody's holding a gun? No. That's not what it means.
Oh, no.
It doesn't mean just give yourself over.
Oh, no.
But it does mean we need to have care and concern for them.
Amen.
We need to be concern for their well-being.
Amen.
He talks about physical things that we might need to do in order to help them. If they're hungry, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them water.
Amen.
He says, in doing so, we will shame them. And remember, we've studied this before. We said that doesn't mean that we do those things to shame them.
Amen.
But in being righteous and good and proper,
amen,
to those that are evil and wicked, it causes them shame.
Amen.
And I realize we look at the world today and we think, no, most of these people that are doing these things, they're not even going to think twice about it. They're not going to be ashamed. They've lost their sense of shame. And that may be the case.
Amen.
But we're still given a responsibility to love.
Amen.
We're still given a responsibility to consider. And I would present to you the story of James in the book of Acts, who was beheaded. How many of the Christians stood up and went and fought against Herod because he beheaded James? How many of the apostles cried out, we've got to get back at them for what they did? No, they went and preached the word. What was the response of the brethren when Stephen was stoned? What was the response of Stephen when he was stoned? He prayed to God. Asked God to have mercy on them. See no record in the book of Acts of the brethren rising up and retaliating against the Sanhedrin because of what they had done to Stephen.
Right.
Other than they kept preaching the word.
Amen.
Those who were persecuted by Paul, well, he was Saul at that time.
Amen.
There's no record of rising up in protest or in retaliation.
Right.
Why? Because the instruction from God is love.
Amen.
Concern.
Amen.
The illustration, the example that we have from Jesus
It's a willingness to suffer in this life so that we might know the peace and rest that comes in the life to come. And we, like Jesus, need to learn to love the unlovable.
Amen.
So they can come to know the peace that is found in Christ. I want to be clear. When we talk about this love, we need to understand that the ultimate expression of love for someone is to show them the way of salvation. The final thing that we want to consider, that is something that we need to do, is we need to teach. When tragedy strikes, when evil is so far around us and seems to surround us, maybe the first thing we need to do is pray to God and bring our focus back to Him.
Amen.
Certainly, we need to be cautious and consider, but as we learn that we are to be wise and learn what the true wisdom from God teaches us, that it is love and care and concern for those that are lost as well as for our brethren.
Amen.
We need to understand that ultimately the expression of that love is teaching the gospel. Look what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. After what he had said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about men turning away, giving no attention to the word, going after their own ideas and thoughts, he says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice what Paul tells Timothy there. They're not going to listen. They're going to turn their ears away to somebody that will tell them what they want to hear.
Amen.
But you, Timothy, you keep teaching the truth.
Amen.
You keep proclaiming the gospel.
Amen.
Timothy, men are going to go after and become lovers of self and lovers of pleasure. They're going to forsake God. They're going to ignore what God has said. They're going to hurt one another because they're going to get greedy.
Amen.
What do you do about it, Timothy? You preach the word.
Amen.
You preach the word.
Amen.
Jesus sent His apostles and disciples out, His apostles in particular, and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and has been baptized will be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned.
Amen.
What are we supposed to do? Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Teach the word.
Amen.
When? When everybody's listening.
Amen.
When nobody wants to hear.
Amen.
When nobody cares, when it's hard, when it's easy, when it's comfortable, when it's not, preach the word. What do? We preach the word. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What do? When the world around us is falling apart, we preach the word.
Amen.
We ask God for strength so we can preach the word.
Amen.
We focus ourselves on the will of God.
Amen.
So we can preach the word.
Amen.
We give consideration that there are false teachers out there, and we prepare ourselves, warn ourselves, but we still preach the word.
Amen.
For it is the gospel that brings salvation.
Amen.
Saw another quote just, I think it was yesterday. Darkness cannot dispel darkness.
Amen.
And evil will not dispel evil.
Oh, good.
Sometimes our first response,
our first reaction to evil is destroy it.
Amen.
Get rid of it.
Amen.
And yes, we do need to separate ourselves from evil.
Amen.
Just like we cut off the moldy side of the bread.
Amen.
Throw it away. Somebody throw the whole lump away from mold. It's not a good part of it.
Amen.
We get rid of the mold.
Amen.
We need to separate ourselves from evil.
Amen.
But the only way that we're going to be able to deal with evil and overcome evil is with the light of God's word.
Amen.
Amen. The only way to get rid of darkness is eternal light.
Amen.
Bringing in more darkness will not help.
Oh, no.
God helps us.
Amen.
Love.
Amen.
Love the world. Love the people of the world, I should say, not the world. Love the people of the world enough that we will teach them the gospel of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. The salvation that comes
Amen.
Through his sacrifice on the cross of God. This morning, I want you to stop and consider.
Amen.
Jesus died on Calvary.
Amen.
Not because you were good.
Amen.
Not because you were going to grow up to be a generally nice person.
Amen.
Jesus died on Calvary because you would have wickedness.
Amen.
Because you would have sin. He needed to die in order for you to be cleansed of that sin.
Amen.
The sacrifice that Jesus made, Paul tells us in the moment letter, was made while we were still in sin.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for your sin and for mine. Not because we were going to be great people.
Right. Amen.
But because without his death and his blood, we would be lost.
Amen.
He died demonstrating love
Amen.
For what we might consider the unloving. If you want to have salvation today, you need to submit yourself to that sacrifice, the will of Jesus Christ. You need to know the message of salvation that comes through Christ and Christ alone. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
The one who rejects my word has one that judges him.
Amen.
My word will judge him in the last day. Paul tells us that hearing the word of God develops faith, brings us to a state of understanding and of knowledge, and can develop within us a trust and hope in God. So allow us to give our lives over to Him, make up by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
We're reading and studying and learning about Jesus, what He did for us, and what He expects of us. It should cause us to stop and consider who we are.
Amen.
How we're living.
Mm-hmm.
And to read and understand what is expected of us as people of this world who want to be in a right relationship with God.
Amen.
The understanding and acknowledging that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins is not sufficient. Those on the day of Pentecost acknowledge that.
Amen.
And Peter preached to them and said it was Jesus that they crucified, that was now raised to be Lord in Christ. Their question was, what do we do? Not we believe this and therefore we're saved, but what do we do? How do we fix it?
Amen.
How do we get right? And Peter said, repent and be baptized to every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Saul, who saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, was told to go into Damascus to hear what it is that he needed to do in order to be pleasing to God, in order to quit kicking against the goats and fighting against Christ.
Amen.
Went into the city for 3 days to pray to God, and when Ananias came to him, then he heard the words.
Amen.
That was allowed to be right, to be pleased, and to save in the sight of God.
Amen.
My church shall arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, and acting upon that word, changing ourselves, repenting and turning away from who we have been to become who God would have us to be.
Amen.
confessing our belief in Jesus as the Son of God, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did, then we can be buried in baptism to rise up to walk in new life.
Amen.
We can be crucified with Christ and be buried with Christ, putting to death the old man, rising anew.
Amen.
Question for each one this morning, have you done that? Have you been buried in baptism with Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? So that you might rise out of that watery grave. A new creature. Child of God. A part of his body and a hope to be with him and his Father for all eternity. If not, you need to. Just once. You'll be lost. With the devil and his service in hell. If you've taken that step in the past and you look at your life this morning and you find you're straight, maybe you've not spent enough time reading from the Word and kept the wisdom of God within you. Maybe you've lost your focus. Maybe you're not as wise as you need to be because you've not been living in accordance with the will of God in all parts of life. Maybe you've been doing that to the best of your ability and you realize today that you're stuck. It's time to pick yourself back up. John tells us that if we have sin in our life, and all of us, whether sometime or another, maybe more frequently than we would like to admit, if we have sin in our life, we can pray to God and confess our sin and ask Him that He will forgive us life in a way that it's never been. All we have to do is turn from it and ask Him to forgive. As children of God, we have that privilege. If you look this morning and you find in some way or another you're subject to invitation, won't you come on and stand and sing for the church?